Well, thank you, Angela. Seems like a collection there of sayings and thoughts, observations from the preacher or the teacher. There's a lot in here, so we won't be looking at everything. So there's one thought that I've got from this, and perhaps we'll look at that as we go through. So let's just pray together first. Our Father God, as we look at your word, as we look at this life of absurdities under the sun, as we look at wisdom and foolishness, help us to put our trust in you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So the question, who do I trust? Who do I really trust? As a Christian, of course, I put my trust in the living God. I trust Jesus as I follow him by faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit. But then again, as a man, as a human being living this life under the sun, I also put my trust in other people. It's something I've been doing all my life. We all have to trust other people. It's what we do as human beings. Trust is a strong basis for developing personal relationships. It's very much a part of how we function as a society. It is said that a nation is ruled either by fear or trust. So who do we trust? We'll be considering this as we look at wisdom and foolishness. Well, straight away, right at the beginning of the text, the preacher goes in with these words, go and eat your bread with joy, drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Wow, this sounds like party time, doesn't it? Really having a great time, except it's not what it seems. In the previous verses, the teacher makes it perfectly clear that we are locked into our own place and time in history. We are born, we live our allotted time, and then we go to the grave in this life under the sun. Life in the moment is utterly meaningless. We all share a common destiny that ends in death, the grave. So that proves how meaningless it is, says the preacher. And there's a touch of humour here, even sarcasm really, when he says this. Though this is your lot, this is your lot in the life under the sun. This is it. So you might as well go out and eat and drink and be merry. Put your best clothes on, put that nice perfume on and go out and enjoy yourself. Have a great time with your wife. You can extend that actually to your family and friends. The whole point is get on with it and enjoy it because there's nothing else. Forget all you've been told, all that knowledge, all the things you've learned. Don't bother about tomorrow, for you cannot be certain of what tomorrow may bring. Live for the moment and have a good time. For there is nothing at the grave. There is no wisdom, no knowledge. Wisdom serves no purpose. Can I trust wisdom? But for those people in Christ, that's you and me, if you believe in Jesus, there is the certain hope beyond the grave. So we can enjoy all the good things of this life as we look forward to that time when we go past the grave to be with Jesus. But can I trust wisdom? You see, wisdom is the accumulation of knowledge and understanding. We all have it. Even I have it. Hard to believe, yes. It shapes our behavior, our morality. It affects our personal relationships and how we approach our work. Wisdom helps us to make plans, decisions, and choices. That's how we get things right. So I want you to consider a young woman. I'll call her Melinda. Now, she's just completed her MA in Business Studies and Economics, and now Melinda wants to start her own business. Well, there's no Dragon's Den or The Apprentice for her. No, she's got her amazing business plan, and she's taking it to the financial advisor, and he declares that it's absolutely marvelous. The best plan he's seen. It's perfect. She has used her wisdom well. She's been very wise.
Just one moment.
The business starts up and it grows very quickly. However, this was in the autumn of 2019, and in the spring 2020, COVID-19 rears its ugly head and her business collapses and she has failed. Is this wisdom? Was it foolishness? In contrast, and I looked at this on the internet, many successful entrepreneurs have taken huge risks in startup, leaving secure jobs, mortgaging their homes up to the hilt. They've borrowed large sums of money, potentially bringing themselves and their families to the brink of ruin. But some have succeeded in their business. So is this wisdom or foolishness? Who can I trust, the wise man or the fool? The preacher carries on in verse 11 in this theme of living in the moment, and this time he looks at time and chance. Our intuition, our logic might tell us that the race should be won by the fastest person, the fastest runner. The battle should be won by the strongest army. The preacher reminds us that from experience, the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle victory to the strong. And also riches don't always come to men of understanding, those who work for it. So we may have all seen that television moment, the athletics meeting, that final bend before the long straight to the winning post. And then a toe of a competitor accidentally clips the heel of the front runner, who then falls into the dust and the race is lost. Or there's that David and Goliath encounter where the small man brings down the giant. How the mighty have fallen, we say. And what about those people who have worked hard all their lives, never really enjoying what they've got because they're working so hard. They've done all the studying and they have nothing to show for it. And then again, somebody might just get a lottery ticket. And in that moment, their lives are transformed as they hit the jackpot. But the preacher says that time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. And he compares here what happens with the fish and the birds. They are caught at a time they don't know that's going to happen. And in the same way, the children of men are caught in the same way, an evil time that suddenly falls on them. We are all at the mercy of time and chance in this life under the sun. Things happen. The preacher asks, if this life is all there is, then why doesn't this life make more sense? Why doesn't wisdom make more sense? Can I trust a wisdom that is at the mercy of time and chance? Under this life under the sun, we perceive that things may happen by time and chance. But we saw in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 13, we are reminded that things happen by God's design. The divine hand of God is continually at work in the world. And a quick jump then to chapter 11 and verse 3, we see the natural processes at work in the world, the laws of physics or laws of nature, we might say. When the cloud gets full of rain, it empties itself on the earth, and to the north and to the south, a tree falls where it is, dead, and there to lie. The processes of nature are going on all the time. The natural forces make the power in the waves. They bring the rain and they drive the wind. But then we must be reminded that Jesus calmed the storm. He calmed the wind and the waves. The forces of the universe are in God's hands. Jesus rules creation. There's also a picture here of life-giving water as it falls on the earth, and the final death of a tree, which may have been around for centuries. And it reminds us once again of our own mortality and the grave. And it can point us then to Jesus' victory over the grave, over death. There are two further things he says on this subject, and he then goes on to say that he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. He's talking about the farmer here waiting for the right conditions. Can't sow the seed in the wind because it will just scatter. And if it's raining, you can't reap the harvest. But what he's saying here is that waiting for the right conditions, the right time for the best results may seem to be the wise thing to do. But if you wait too long, you may miss the only opportunity. Now, I've got an app on my phone. It forecasts the weather up to 14 days. And Angela and I were going for a walk the other day, and when I looked on the phone, it said there was a 30% chance of rain. But then if you look at the other way, it's a 70% chance it's not going to rain. And actually, we got wet on the way back. And if I look to the final 14th day, it might look like sunshine when it's 2 weeks ahead. But as the day gets closer, the weather then seems to get much more unsettled. How do we predict the future? Even with all the technology of the weather forecasting, the probabilities of things that might or might happen, we just don't know. It's telling us here not to wait for the perfect moment, but just to get on with it. And sometimes we wait for the favorable conditions, the right moment in serving God, instead of trusting and just getting on with it. Just take the risk following Jesus. For those who don't know Jesus, they might wait too long and miss their chance. They need to take the risk and be a fool for Jesus. Waiting, overthinking the situation may turn out not to be the wise thing to do. Much of chapter 10 focuses on the foolishness and how foolishness triumphs over wisdom. So straight in, verse 8. He who digs a hole will fall into it. Well, I mean, that sounds really absurd, doesn't it? You dig a hole and you fall into it. But it points out that things happen just through our foolishness, because this is who we are. And there are two more examples that he considers. It considers the danger of suffering injury when quarrying stones or chopping wood. Clearly, this is a case of intervention from the health and safety executive. Things happen through our own foolishness. Even today, the number of people turning up at A&E with minor injuries suggests that foolish behaviour is still a popular pastime. And then again, the wise man should use the sharp axe, the sharp tool. It seems the right thing to do, but then again, on reflection, if it was me, I'd probably cut myself on it at some time anyway. In verse 1, we see the dead flies that putrefy the perfumer's oil. What's saying here is that one act of foolishness contaminates all the wisdom. Dead flies spoil a fine perfume and cause it to smell. One little act of folly can spoil the reputation of someone regarded as wise and honourable. And then from 11 to 20, the preacher then looks at the words of the wise man. And he says, they are gracious, but on his lips, but the words of the fool can swallow him up. foolishness can overcome wisdom. The fool multiplies his words. No man knows what is to be, or who can tell him what is after him, says the preacher. But the fool is known by his babbling words and by his presumption about the future. He will tell us what's going to happen, quite confident that he knows what's going on, that he can see the future. When, as the preacher says, no one knows what is to be. So who can I really trust in this life under the sun? Knowledge, understanding, wisdom is limited. It's frail. Wisdom cannot see with any certainty into the future, not even into the next moment. Wisdom can fail. Foolishness can win, apparently. And foolishness can even bring success. Too much wise talking can cause delay. Taking the risk might be the right thing to do. And yet we know all these things. It seemed quite obvious to us from our own experience. Our own experience in this life under the sun. Not just us, but every person around the world knows this to be true. Yet today, around the world, millions of people are having to put their trust in the wisdom of others who are dealing with the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Unfortunately, we clearly see the fallibility of wisdom, and yet the media, the opposition and the politicians, the general public will continue asking the questions. When is this going to happen? How are you going to do that? Why don't you do this? What if? Are you in control? The questions go on, and the questions, well, they come from genuine fear, concern, uncertainty. Because sadly, there is no one else to ask under the sun. There is no one to turn to in trust. Praise be to God then, that we who are in Christ can turn to him in faith and trust. Yes, we do put our trust in the politicians, in the doctors, the nurses, the economists, the statisticians, virologists, and so on. But we must bring them to the Lord in prayer, because they all need that touch of God's perfect wisdom. And we all need to turn to a gracious God and ask for his help and forgiveness. We need to pray that others will know the wisdom of God for themselves, a wisdom that points to Jesus. Jesus is the one who died on the cross, but then rose again from the grave and now reigns in glory. So what do I trust? The life under the sun that ends in the grave, or the life following Jesus that goes on through the grave to be with him in glory? Who can we trust? We can trust with confidence. We can trust in the living God. We can trust in Jesus as we follow him by faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.